Hello, my name is Roger Watson. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and welcome to the JAN podcast. These occasional podcasts will be a miscellany of my reflections on working as an Editor-in-Chief, some hot topics in academic publishing, and occasional contributions from guest editors. This is the JAN podcast of 26th of May 2017. Hi, and I'm Roger Watson, the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. I'm going to introduce a series of talks which are going to be called collectively Myths About Academic Publishing. Over the years as an editor and also as an author, listening to other people speaking and being asked questions when I've been doing writing for publication workshops, I've come across some strange ideas. Most of these are things that I'm asked about, which I just think are completely untrue. And I often wonder where they come from. I think, frankly, they come from other people like me, other editors who have strange ideas and perpetrate these. And of course, people who want to get published listen carefully because there's a power imbalance there. If the editor suggests that you should do something, then you should probably do it. However, I'm going to go through a list of things over these several talks and explain to you why some of these things are just nonsense. One of these myths is that people whose first language is not English must learn to write in English before they can publish in English-speaking journals. And nothing could be further from the truth. I've recently been in China, where people were constantly making excuses to me when they were handing me manuscripts to take a look at, which was part of the job I was doing there, excusing themselves regarding their English. And my response was, well, I can probably make sense of it, but if you think the English is not very good, then you need to get help with it. And that's the reason I think that telling people that they must learn to write in English is just not true. I've published in several other languages: Spanish, Chinese, Indonesian, Slovenian, I think I've recently published in Russian as well, and I don't know how to speak any of these languages. I'm utterly dependent on someone who can, and who can translate what I say in English, or write in English, into their language. Somebody who comes, for example, from China and whose English is poor — it's rare to find academics in China whose English is non-existent — by all means, they should write in as much English as they possibly can, but if they can't write in English, they should write in Chinese and hire the services of a translator to translate it into English, and then have someone who's a native English speaker, preferably, or even an editor who's willing to do it, look at it and get it up to scratch. The only thing that's true about this language trail is that you must submit papers which are in perfect English. But that's completely different from having to write them in English. The problem is that people put off writing very easily. They put off writing for all sorts of excuses. And one of these excuses with people whose first language is not English is that they feel they must wait until they learn perfect English before they do it. And it is usually because they've been told this by someone. So I think we've really got to try and get across the message to people whose first language is not English that they should write in whatever language they can write in. English mixed with a bit of their own language, it doesn't matter. The point is that they must write and progress the paper, paying attention to things like structure and other guidelines that are given by journals. That's often a problem for people in other languages. They can't read the guidelines, or they simply don't follow them. They make the fault of writing a paper, showing it to someone, and then saying, where will I submit it? And that's another thing that people should learn, is to think of a journal ahead of time and write for that journal. If it gets rejected, then you just have to write it for another one. But that usually just means restructuring it. But in terms of the process of writing the actual words, write them in any way they can. English, other languages worked in, whatever. Get some help. Get it into readable English. And remember that a local, fluent English translator in any country, unless they've been born in the UK and spent a long time there, will never write as well as somebody who's a native. And it's probably as well not simply to submit things to journals that have been translated, but to get them looked at and edited as well by somebody whose native language is English. There's often a great deal of consternation when people say they've spent a great deal of money getting something translated and it got rejected by a journal because the English wasn't good enough. Well, it did get rejected by the journal because the English wasn't good enough. That was because the English wasn't good enough. And it's never the case that local translators can write things fully. They can do a great job of getting the words from one language into another, but that isn't always sufficient. So, these things are expensive, I know. They cost money. Translation services cost money. Editing services can cost money unless you've got a friendly editor or English-speaking colleague to help you. But if you want to get published, then I'm afraid that that's the sort of cost or the price that you'll have to pay. If I'm going to make my living out of publishing in a language that isn't my own, I would just have to be prepared to pay for that. There's really no shortcut, because if you submit material to quality journals that isn't in good English, it will be surely rejected. So that's the first myth, that people must learn to write in English. They don't have to learn to write in English. What they have to learn is a process of getting from their language into good English, and what they must learn and what is essential is that they must submit papers in which the English is very nearly perfect.
This podcast was produced in association with youpublicationslimited.com.